Hello and welcome back to the Fantasy Ramble. We're in a bit of a different situation this week as we've actually got live football that we can preview in the form of the Bundesliga returning this weekend. And as such, we went and did a bit of research and found the Bundesliga Fantasy game online. So we're going to be talking to you about our teams, what we're expecting from our players, and giving a quick rundown of all 10 fixtures that are being shown on BT Sport this weekend. I really wish that was a sponsored bit because I would like some BT Sport money, but unfortunately, we're not at that level yet. So joining me today are two of the usual hosts. We've got Struan and we've got Graham. How are we both?
Yeah, I've got BT
Sport. I've got BT Sport in my room.
Do you want to share your code for Saturday?
Not really, no.
Why are you like this?
Because it's my mum and dad's.
That's
code.
Very fair.
And I pay for it. Oh my god, I almost broke the swearing rule already.
Oh, that's a great start. A great start. One question, Lassie, both. Who are we supporting going forward in the Bundesliga? Have we got a Bundesliga team? Or
let me get it out of the way quickly before we all crucify Struan. That I'm cool. I went down the league because I'm supporting Hamburger SV this season.
Tell us why, Graham. This is reference for anyone that listened to our last episode.
I think I brought this up in the last podcast.
Yeah.
That I have a football manager, Steve Hamburg, that I'm in season 10, 2028 right now.
Jesus Christ.
That has stopped playing it, but I'm now linked to Hamburg forever.
There we go. That's how a lot of footballing romances are born these days, isn't it? Just football manager and FIFA career mode, isn't it?
Pretty much.
Struan's hasn't been. Struan, Graham and I know your team, but if you want to reveal it to our two guest hosts today, Struan, who are you supporting in the Bundesliga?
Well, I'll start off by saying I hate myself today, just before we get into this. So I'll be supporting Bayern Munich, as there was a gift generator on BT Sports Twitter, and I did it, and I got Bayern Munich, and I thought, well, I might as well. So, yeah.
The silence is deafening. The silence says a lot.
That's horrendous.
That is horrendous.
It's not good.
No,
I might change to coin. I think I'm going to go to coin. But
coin.
Not Cologne.
Cologne. Coin.
No, I genuinely think it can be pronounced like that as well.
Tasha coin.
But Cologne, yeah.
There we go. Right, the less said about Struan, the better. I'm going to introduce today's two guest stars, guest hosts on the show today. If you've listened to their podcast, Energy Extra Time, you'll know a lot about these two. We've got Sean McGill and Cameron Wanstall, so welcome for your first appearance. How does it feel?
Thank you very much. Big fan of the show, so it's an honour to be here.
It's exciting. It's exciting.
Good to have you on. I suppose same question. I mean, have you picked out a German team that you're going to be backing for the next wee while?
Actually, I can't decide. You could help me decide. I'm torn between Dortmund or Mainz.
I've gone Dortmund myself.
You've went Dortmund, but I'll go Mainz just to be different then.
There we go.
I'm having a wee bit of relegation battle then.
That was simple. Sean, what about you?
See, I wasn't sure either, but Cameron and I were talking earlier today on our show, and I remembered that I really loved Wolfsburg's Europa League run back in like 2014 or something.
Oh,
the Kraken team.
Uh-huh.
So just sheer nostalgia, I'm going to go for them.
That's a very good shout. A very good shout. No, I went Dortmund because of their Champions League run back in 2013. They ended up in the final against Bayern. That kind of front three of Royce, Götze and Lewandowski was unreal. So that's kind of why I've stuck to them. Ended up ordering a shirt off Puma today. It was already half price, and then a uni day's discount ended up with a current season shirt for £25. So I can't really argue
can't
with
argue that.
That. No, you cannot.
Not at all.
So, yeah, as we said in the introduction, there is a Bundesliga fantasy game that all of us at Energy Sport have jumped into league for. How are our lineups looking? Because I tried to have a look, but I don't think it actually displays anyone's lineup until games have been played, so I can't see who anyone else has. I'd imagine common players amongst us all, Lewandowski, Haaland, Gnabry, Sancho, Havertz, the likes of them. Am I missing anyone important there?
Timo Werner.
Werner. Very true.
Alfonso Davies.
Yep, got him. Mm-hmm. I've got him.
Yeah, same, yeah.
Joshua Kimmich actually counts as a defender on fantasy, but he's a midfielder. Bit of an almost Lundstrom.
I found it quite hard to find like lots of good players from like the big teams. I've only got two Bayern players and I've got zero Dortmund players.
That's big. That's big. You've kind of branched out then.
I didn't try and branch out. I would have put Bayern players in. They're expensive. Lewandowski's a fifth of your budget, just on him.
Aye, well, I mean, it's Lewandowski, though. I mean, 25 goals in 23 league games this season. You can't really turn your nose up when it's that level of return.
It's effectively just the Aguero of the Bundesliga, isn't it? It's expensive, but you know what you're going to
get. Aye, it's guaranteed goals. It's guaranteed goals. And something interesting about the Bundesliga game, you can pick a star player for each position, so you're not getting your captain like you do in the fancy Premier League game. You get 1.5 times the points that they get, but you can spread that out as a forward, midfielder and a defender, which is interesting. Honestly, has anyone else seen anything about this game, this fantasy game? Because this is the first I've come across it, and it's vastly different to what we've
first
got.
Time for me, I'm usually pretty rubbish at fantasy football. I usually go about 3 weeks of the season and then chuck it in.
Aye.
But this is a smaller time period, so I'm hoping I can keep my focus for the remaining 9 games of the season or whatever it is. But it was a bit weird to use. The fact you pick a squad as well, so you've got a few sort of subs. I don't know how they get points or if they do get points, but they're there.
Something I did read, you can make changes to your lineup and your formation midway through the game week, which is something that
that's strange.
Probably couldn't happen in England considering how fixed everything is. Although for us last season, we probably could have done it with the amount of times Pep Guardiola changed his team around.
Who's going to be that equivalent in the Bundesliga then?
Who, a tinker man? Oh, I don't know.
Well, one thing I'd like you were saying about the star player, I really like that as a feature, because with like the Premier League one, I'm kind of debating, you know, like would I go like Alexander Arnold or a striker, and it's kind of mix. But I like being able to pick a defender, midfielder, and an attacker.
Yeah, no, it's good to have that. Have that option. We'll just jump in. Actually, before we jump into the fixtures, we need to talk about team names, because we've had some belters. I have to say, I think out of everyone on this episode today, Sean's got the best team name for a fantasy team. Sean, do you want to divulge to the loyal listeners what your team name for this game is?
Well, I had to have a really good think, because you were confident in the group chat that yours was the best, and my competitive spirit came out. So I had a wee think, and I've gone with Hoos Royce, but I'm a bit worried about it, because I was telling some pals about it, because I'm really proud of it, obviously, and someone said to me, oh, I think I've seen that on FIFA before, and I was like, see if I've pulled this from my subconscious, and it's not actually mine.
You've seen it before?
Raging.
Oh, no,
I don't think I have, but it might be somewhere in the back of the brain. But
I think we'll need to give you the benefit of the doubt. We'll give you the benefit of the doubt and just say that you came up with it off the cuff. I thought mine was good until I heard yours. I mean, I tried to think of obviously what you did and just think of a player, because that's what I did for my Premier League one when I had Giroud Sandstorm. That was my peak of my fantasy performance last year, in all honesty.
Yeah.
And I ended up with Hollandaise sauce, which I thought at the time was quite funny. I still find it funny now. But Hoos Royce probably sits at the top of the pile just now. Struan, you went for your standard.
I kept my English one, because like, I didn't realise we were all going to change. I just instinctively put it in, and I've not been able to figure out if you can change it. I must have spent a good half an hour going through the app trying to find if I could change it, and I couldn't. So I'm still McTominay's man dim. Which isn't really funny or a play on words or anything.
Not even
it's the player that I like.
It's not even relevant.
It's not at all.
As Liverpool Football Club of our English Fantasy League, in that I'm going to win the league just a matter of time. I got stuck with my name, but changed it to Germans.
Oh.
Pajama.
Sorry, what was that, Graeme? Just cut out a wee bit there.
Oh, Lallana's in pajamas. It's become Lallana's in pajama.
In pajama.
Two letters have changed.
I thought it was a spelling mistake. I didn't feel that actually changed to German.
Funnily enough, Lallana doesn't translate to anything in German.
That's shocking to me. Couldn't have ever predicted that. And Cameron, what about yourself? You changed one of your older fantasy team names into German.
Yeah. I honestly tried for about half an hour to beat Hollandaise sauce, and I couldn't. So I just gave up and went to the old Google Translate, chucked in same old Aloha, and that's what came out.
There we go, same old Aloha. It works. It definitely does work terms of the theme of it. I think if we're ranking them, Struan's probably dead last, because his,
100%.
His is just not. He's not even tried to put a bit of German on it.
No, I'm honestly on the app right now trying to figure out as well. I'm just
Struan will hit a stroke of genius like halfway through this episode. We'll figure out how to change his name, and we'll have to debate then whether it's worth the change or not. Anyway, we'll crack on and we'll start looking at some fixtures. So the first fixture on the list that was broadcast nationwide and internationally was, of course, the Revier Derby between Dortmund and Schalke as the first return fixture, which is huge. It's a huge match in Germany and it's going to be massive for new viewers of the German league to be introduced to. Last time out, it was a 0-0 away at the Veltins Arena in for a Schalke. But I don't see it panning out this way at all. Obviously, since then, Dortmund have added Haaland to their roster. And Jadon Sancho has gone from strength to strength. I've not seen too much of what Schalke have been doing, but perhaps someone else can chime in with that. So, Graham, I'll come to you. What are we thinking about this game? Are we highlighting any key players? Are we expecting a result for Schalke? Because in history, this kind of tends to go either way. There's not been one clear winner of it throughout the years.
Well, it is the biggest derby in Germany. It's just kind of sad that the first game back is the game that would probably most benefit from a crowd in the entire Bundesliga. I mean, I kind of have watched a little bit of Schalke this year. David Wagner, ex-Huddersfield manager, is now their coach, and he's basically just tried to like rebuild because they were teetering in relegation last season.
Yep.
And a lot of names you really wouldn't be familiar with, a lot of young players, but they've done really well in the first half of the season, kind of overachieved a little bit.
Yeah.
And when they came back, they looked like they were a bit short, a bit shy of legs, and kind of were falling off a bit. But they have some great players, particularly Armin Harit,
yep,
who is attacking midfielder, and I think the break might have done them a good time, a good service, and I think they'll be ready when they come back this Saturday.
Especially for Harit, hopefully that's been a good break for him, because I'm just reading just now, he's contributed to more goals than any other Schalke player this season, but he's not scored in 13 appearances and he's not assisted in 10. So he's been in a real rut since basically the turn of the year. And he could probably have done with kind of clearing his head, getting his confidence back and being able to come out swinging once the league comes back on Saturday. Cameron, you've had a kind of bit of time looking at everyone's individual season. How do you kind of see this one panning out in comparison to that?
I think that it will be a Dortmund win, to be honest. I think if you just take the fans out of it, the better team should win. That should be Dortmund. I hope Haaland starts, because I've got him in my team, but I also do have Amin Harit, so I kind of hope he breaks that duck that you've just mentioned, because I need some points. I've got a very attack-heavy team, so I think Dortmund should run out purely easy winners here, but I'm wrong all the time on our podcast, so don't hold me to it, you know?
I mean, I would be inclined to agree with you, but that's just my Dortmund supporter bias coming into play heavy early on. But, I mean, Schalke do have some decent players. They've got Danny Caliguri, who I believe was at Wolfsburg at one time, kind of at that 2014 Europa League run that Sean was talking about. Weston McKennie is a very talented young American centre midfielder. They've got John Joe Kenny on loan from Everton, Matija Nastasic, formerly of Manchester City. They've got a talented squad, definitely. Sean, is there any point in predicting an upset at this point in time? I mean, there's kind of a bit of backing for it.
What I think will be interesting is to see if a derby like this has the same sort of bite. Is it just sort of the players get up for it because of the fans, or will they sort of see that opposite shirt and they'll still see red and will they still go for it the same way? We still see players staff into tackles. That'll be really interesting to see, and see if that's sort of a leveller for Schalke. If it is, you could 100% see them getting a result. When I think of this fixture, I think of last season when Dortmund went 4-0 up in about 25 minutes, and Schalke managed to pull it back to 4-4 with a 94th minute Naldo equaliser. So
right enough, yeah,
it's a fixture that's got a lot of history, a lot of excitement. So I'd like to think it'll be a tightly contested game.
I suppose Schalke do have that. They might almost benefit from not having fans, because we know how famous the Dortmund, the South Stand is, and the atmosphere that you get when you arrive at Signal Iduna Park, how famous their atmosphere is in all of Europe, not just in Germany. Struan, are you chucking a score prediction in here, or are you going to highlight a wee player that we've not mentioned potentially and we should be looking out for on Saturday's game?
Well, my team's quite heavy Dortmund. I've got four Dortmund players in there. I've gone for Delaney, Raina, Hakimi, and Zagadou, and I've made Hakimi my star man in defence.
Right, okay.
Just because I think he's been doing really well this season, but it is a good point about the atmosphere, because obviously Dortmund are used to a full stadium, incredible support, and just not having that is going to be... I reckon it'll take a big impact, especially in the first weekend of fixtures, getting used to having no fans. I reckon in a few weeks' time, players will be more used to it, but I think at first, when you score, when you make a great tackle, just no kind of reaction or anything, I think I'll not put a damper on things, but I think the players will feel it's a bit different almost.
I think if you've seen this, I think Emre Can and Axel Witsel are both out for this game, so that kind of gives Schalke more of a chance.
Yeah,
Emre Can came in January and he's been excellent for them by all accounts.
Additionally, Royce is dealing with a thigh problem according to the
Royce is always dealing with something.
Yeah,
Royce, he's a bit of a tragedy when you think about it, a Greek tragedy in Germany. But you would have liked to have seen him move abroad potentially, like showcase his talents, because he is a very, 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 very talented player when he does play. And we've seen that he's taken club captaincy in the last couple of years and deservedly one of the best players in Germany. But he's looking like he's out. Nico Schulz as well, and Zagadou is out, Struan, so you might want to change that.
Oh, nightmare. Big Yedvaj is coming off the bench.
I mean, you've got time to just change it completely. You can take him out and put someone else in, but it's up to you at that point. I'm going to chuck a wee score prediction in. I'm going to say 3-1 to Dortmund to start us off. Hopefully, I don't think anything could be as bad as the 0-0 that we got earlier on in the season, I should say. Anyone else, Graham, you willing to chuck a score prediction in?
1-1.
Brilliant. Lovely.
One apiece. I spoke.
You did. I know. I heard you. Don't worry.
You think you were criticising me for not speaking. That's like a PlayStation thing.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I won't do that again. Struan, are you throwing a score prediction in as well?
I'll go with 3-0 Dortmund.
3-0? You don't think Schalke are scoring at all?
Nah.
Cameron?
I'll go 2-1 Dortmund.
And Sean?
2-2.
2-2. A good wide range of scores, and we can come back next week and see how many of us were. Well, one of us will be right, potentially, if not none of us. We'll move on to the next fixture that was there. Leipzig are hosting Freiburg on Saturday as well. Leipzig, they are one of the chasers of the pack at the moment. They are sitting in the top four and are breathing down the necks of both Bayern and Dortmund that are ahead of them. And Freiburg, they've not had an awful season, but they could. It's for them. I think they've got a lot less to play for almost, because they're kind of sitting in a bit of a limbo position. They're not really going to be too affected by this game, whereas Leipzig will be still pushing that those two at the top of the table to see if they can get anywhere near. Obviously, Graham, your English club has been linked to Leipzig's main man, Timo Werner, for the last couple of months, so you've probably seen a bit more of him than the rest of us, just by that link, I suppose.
I think Werner was a player that we're all looking forward to seeing at the 2018 World Cup, and he disappointed. Obviously, Germany as a whole disappointed. Mm-hmm. Since then, he has improved season and season, and this season is his best season. And I think going back to the game at the Tottenham Stadium against Spurs, he was excellent, and he's just turned his game around, upped his game even more to be one of the best strikers in the world. And it's just, I think a lot of that is probably down to his manager, Julian Nagelsmann. You hear so much about him, about who he's just the next big thing in German football and the next best manager in world football. And he has done that with Leipzig. It's so tactically creative.
It's mental to think, because Nagelsmann is actually younger than a fair few of the players that actually play in the league. He's only 32 years of age, so has a lot of time left in his football career. Sean, have you seen anything about Freiburg's chances? I mean, their top scorer, Niels Petersen, I think he's got 8 goals this season, and he got the winner in the reverse fixture when Freiburg won 2-1 earlier in the season.
I think I'm right in thinking that Freiburg had a pretty good start to the season. They were kicking about in that top four for a while, but have sort of just tailed away. They'll still be trying to climb the table. 8th just now, and there's only 6 points between 11th and 7th. So, depending on the result of the German Cup, there could be an extra European place in that 7th spot. So, they'll be keen to sort of kick on as much as they can.
I think it's hard to call because Leipzig, they are so flashy and they are so attacking when you've got the likes of Forsberg and Gregorovic and Kunku. He's in my team and I think he's had a very decent start to this, start to the season with 10 games left. He's had a very decent season overall. Struan, have you kind of taken anyone into your team from either of these two, from Leipzig or Freiburg?
I have Nkunku as well as my star man in midfield, and I've gone for Marcel Sabitzer.
Oh yeah, uh-huh.
And I made that decision purely based off his performance against Tottenham in the 3-1.
Very understandable. It was 3-0.
3-0, wasn't it? Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah.
I completely forgot about that game.
Wow. I think he was such a good player in that, and I really like watching Leipzig. I think they've got a good young squad, mm-hmm. although a lot of people disagree with the way they're based, like how their clubs kind of come to it. I really like the promoting youth and giving players a chance, like Gulaski, who was third choice at Liverpool a few years ago. Never heard of him, and he's arguably the best keeper in the league this season. You've got players like Nkunku, who wasn't getting a chance at PSG, again has become one of the best players in Germany this year, and you've got people like Werner and Upamecano attracting interest from the biggest clubs around the world, and I think they're a really nice team to watch, watching the highlights and the formation and stuff like that. So I think they'd be a really good team to watch just in general. If you don't know what Bundesliga team you want to support or anything like that, I think they're quite an easy shout.
A lot of people in Germany wouldn't be very happy with you saying that, considering they're a club in their 11th year of existence and they're already kind of pushing the top of the table. Cameron, as Struan was saying, it's a very young squad, it's a very talented squad. That is kind of giving out a lot of foresight to the squad being picked apart in the summer. You've got, as we mentioned, Werner being linked away to Liverpool. You've got Dayo Upamecano, I hope I'm saying that right, the French centre-back, he's getting linked away. A number of their other kind of star players are also kind of looking further afield. So is this a kind of must-win? Are all these games going to be a must-win for Leipzig going into the business end of the season if they are to chase that title that they'd be winning after just a decade in existence?
Yeah, definitely. They have a really strong squad that probably will get picked apart, like you said there, Werner for Meccano. But they'll have to go for the title this season. It's probably their strongest title challenge yet. I know they finished second in their first year in the Bundesliga, 3 or 4 seasons back, but they were way off Dortmund. It was about 15 points or something. So this year they have a really strong chance. They're still in the Champions League as well. Obviously, they blew away Tottenham. I remember watching them that game. I think the opening 10 minutes, they had about 5 or 6 clear-cut chances. They were just relentless for such a young side. So I think if they're going to win something this year, they're going to do it, because next season they're probably going to have to rebuild in some key areas.
Yeah, I would completely agree. I think with that in mind, I'm probably just going to go for a Leipzig win, a fairly standard, maybe a 2-0, a 3-0 maybe, depends on how they play on the day. Are we all kind of agreed that Leipzig are probably going to win this one, or is anyone expecting a Freiburg upset?
I'm thinking a Leipzig win here as well, yeah.
I am too, but Leipzig do have can get complacent at home, but I will still bet them to win.
Yeah. Just checking up on whether anyone's out. Ethan Ampadu, the Chelsea loanee, he's out with a back issue. Emil Forsberg, he's away, and Upamecano's actually suspended with his centre back partner Konate, doubtful due to match fitness. But I suppose the same could be said for everyone in the league. And whereas Freiburg, they only have Kubler out with a knee issue, so Freiburg do have the bulk of their squad to pick from. So if that's going to change your decision on who to place your first bet on for months, then take that into consideration. Next up, we've actually got a very interesting game in Hoffenheim and Hertha Berlin. Last time out, it was a 3-2 victory for Hoffenheim, who are now playing at home. Hoffenheim, of course, being the former club of Roberto Firmino, and having players like Leicester's former player of Leicester's Andrei Kramaric and Sebastian Rudi, who spent a bit of time at Bayern, I want to say. Or was it Dortmund? One of the two.
No, it was Bayern, then he's gone to Schalke.
There we go. He was at Schalke as well, of course he was. And then Hertha Berlin, they can go to and from. They're either in a Europa League place or right down at the bottom of the table. Still got ex-Chelsea player Salim Kalou, ex-Celtic Dedrick Boyata. they've got a decent squad, and they've got a number of players that could prove problematic for the Hoffenheim backline. This is an interesting one. I think this might actually end up being one of the games of the weekend, considering how things were last game out. Sean, are we expecting anything like the previous fixture, the 3-2, or are we expecting something a bit more cagey, considering we are just coming back from 2 months off?
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see if the sort of lack of match fitness will lead to sloppy games, or whether players will be right up for it and excited to get back. Obviously, it'll be hard considering the lack of match fitness, but it may lead to a few more mistakes at the back, and we might end up seeing more goals as a result.
Mm-hmm.
Hoffenheim are interesting. They've sort of been trying to rebuild since losing Nagelsmann last season. He went to Leipzig, obviously. And Hertha are an interesting club because on paper they're a huge club. I mean, they play in the Olympic Stadium in Berlin. And I think they've been really trying to kick on and sort of reach that sort of upper echelon of German football. But as you said, they've been really inconsistent over the past number of years. So it's two very interesting clubs.
I do agree. I think this one's gonna go either way. Graham, you've got one of your former players, Grujic, on Hertha's team sheet at the moment. Are we expecting anything kind of shocking from that? Are we expecting just one team to wipe completely, or are we expecting a fairly balanced game going into this one?
I can't say I know that much, but I don't think there'll be much between the two sides. I think it's quite interesting from Hoffenheim's point of view, because just before the break was all this stuff about Hoffenheim and Dietmar Hopp, their owner, all these kind of like massive protests.
Absolutely.
And fines and stuff. So that, I wonder, does that, no fans now, so that might positively affect Hoffenheim, that they don't have all this outside background stuff. Hertha Berlin not long sacking Jurgen Klinsmann, of course,
mm-hmm.
who didn't have a coaching badge, that meant he couldn't coach for a couple of games, which is kind of crazy for a massive team in Germany.
Absolutely.
Don't know all that much about playing styles in these two teams, so I'll probably just stick with a draw.
Yeah, I think I'm going to end up doing the same, maybe a 2-2, considering how last time went, because I have not seen a lot of either of those two teams in recent times. I don't know, Struan, Cameron, have either of you seen much of Hoffenheim or Hertha in recent times, and maybe have a deeper insight into how this game's going to pan out?
I've not really seen either of them play. I just know that Hertha Berlin, I think they've had new owners quite recently, and they're making a few big purchases. They brought in Piatek in January from AC Milan for around 30 million, which I thought was a really good signing. And of course, the FIFA icon that is Alexander Esfain, I believe, is still at that club. So for that reason alone, I'm going to go for a Hertha Berlin win, I think, with this one.
For Esfain's contribution alone.
Exactly.
Cameron, what would you say about that then?
Not really, not much. I think Hoffenheim are kind of in like a rebuilding phase. Also, Sean's already said Nagelsmann went to Leipzig, but they also lost Joelinton, Demembere, Nico Schultz to Dortmund, their playmaker Amiri. So they've lost like four of their best players in the summer, and they've just really struggled to bounce back and actually find a spark since. So I think this game's either going to be like a very boring 0-0 or like an unbelievable 4-4, 4-3 or something.
It's going to go either way.
It could just go either way, yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I'm probably not going to predict an actual score. Maybe I'm going to say a draw, a score draw, and that's where I'll leave it with this prediction, I suppose. Not really much else to say. Anyone else going to give a bold prediction, perhaps, or just a fairly
8-6 Hoffenheim?
Lovely. That perfect. There we go. We'll come back next week, and if that actually happens, then
You all owe me £100 if it's 8-6 to Hoffenheim. I should have went higher than £100.
You should have went higher than £100.
Yeah, that's all we need.
That is. Anyone else want to chuck something like that?
I'll go a 3-0 Hertha Berlin with Esfain to be involved in at least two of the goals.
Don't even know if he plays anymore.
I'm sure he does. I hope so.
I reckon Dedrick Boyata scored a bicycle kick in stoppage time.
Right, this is where it's going to go. We're just going to get creative with how we're winning games now.
We're just getting silly now.
There we go. I think
we're getting silly 8-6. We're getting silly now.
I think that set the tone. Well, that set the tone. The 8-6 has set the tone for the rest of the predictions for today. Whoever comes out with the most outlandish suggestion that comes true wins this week. We'll move on to maybe a couple of the bigger fixtures and come to the kind of smaller, in air quotes, teams a bit later on. will handle the current champions, Bayern. They play away to Union Berlin on Sunday. Obviously, we said earlier, Lewandowski's been in the form of his career, 25. Well, it's not. I don't even know if I could call it the form of his career, because his scoring record has been ridiculous over the years when he's been at both Bayern and Dortmund. Just crazy to think, had that ash cloud not erupted in Iceland, he could have been playing at Blackburn all those years ago. That was the only thing that stopped him. A fun fact for those that didn't know. Union Berlin, they've actually had a decent season this year. They've been active. They've kind of been fairly... I think they've got a positive record. I could be wrong with that. I've not had a look at the league table, stupidly. But I think most sensible people will be predicting a Bayern win, especially when they saw how they just ripped that Chelsea team to shreds before the pandemic struck and we were without football. But am I overstepping here? Is there any chance that Union Berlin sneak a result here? I mean, Sean, the last result between these two was only a 2-1 victory for Bayern at home. Are we expecting Union to come back and get a more positive result at home, or is it just a Bayern win regardless?
I think this would have been a potential banana skin if there was fans in the stadium, because I know that German fans get praised a lot, but Union fans are absolutely mental. So they're by far the craziest I've seen this season, and it's their first season in the Bundesliga, so I bet a lot of their fans will be really gutted that they're not getting a chance to see Bayern, and I reckon that atmosphere would have made that a really closely contested game, and they have punched above their weight. I mean, as I said, first season in the Bundesliga, and they're up in 11th, so they're having a really good season, but you would have to think that the quality that Bayern have, that with no sort of fans to make it a potential leveller, they'll come away with the win.
For those that are not familiar with Union Berlin, we have the kind of thing when we talk about the Premier League, the Brexit team of the week.
So we do. So we do.
Union Berlin are more Brexit than any team in England.
You're joking.
They have the least goals from open play, most long balls, most fouls committed, most headed goals, I think. They have all those stats. That's where they excel. Just kind of a team that's scraped by. If they win, they're going to win 1-0. If they lose, they're going to lose 1-0.
Well, if Tony Pulis is listening, we found him his next job if he wants to go further afield than England.
I think Sean's kind of spot on about the crowd factor. I mean, Union's such a good story, such a rabid fan base, such a kind of small club, but really close-knit.
Mm-hmm.
So not having that and then come up against the giants of Bayern Munich, who have been in incredible form since they sacked Niko Kovac, I think this could be a bloodbath.
Yeah, Hansi Flick has just put a breath of new, just breathed new life into this team. It was after the 5-1 that it was Frankfurt, if I'm right, that just saw that Bayern team demolished in a game that you never thought possible. Hansi Flick came in and has just revitalised Bayern's season in a year that was so contested at the top. Mönchengladbach, who we'll get onto a bit, they were sitting top for about 2 months. And I didn't think that they were going to drop off, but Bayern have really come back into and have earned their way back into top spot. Cameron, who are we picking from Bayern if we can narrow it down to anyone to include in this week's team if you've not picked anyone up already, which is bold.
In fact, I've got Union Berlin and Bayern are the teams I have the most from. I have 3 from each, but two of the Union boys are on the bench.
Mm-hmm.
I've got their captain, Chris Trimmel, starting for me, but from Bayern, I went straight for Serge Gnabry and Robert Lewandowski. I thought that was easy, I actually thought Lewandowski would be worth more because I just think he's that good, but I managed to squeeze him in, and I've got Alphonso Davies starting as well. I know he's a midfielder that plays in defence this season, but he was so cheap for his stats, so those are my 3 recommended Bayern picks.
He's so cheap for how involved he gets as well, because we've seen numerous times a season how effective he is just with his pace and his power going down that left-hand side. I've got the exact same 3, Lewandowski, Gnabry and Davies. Mm-hmm. I've got Christopher Lenz from Union Berlin on my bench with 170 total points this season.
I have the same.
So there's a few players, a few kind of standout players. It was... Mm-hmm. Absolutely, it was interesting actually going and picking players because you could narrow it down to so many different factors, like average points per game. You could look at total points per season, which is a standard thing, but then you saw kind of his form points, points per value, which was an interesting thing to go and look at.
I think Christopher Trimble's a great pick from Cameron. I've got him in two. I believe he's, because he won, he plays at right wing back, so he's going to get forward more. And I could be wrong, I'm pretty sure I'm not, that he is a set piece taker. And given what I said about them having the least goals from open play, what's a set piece goals? Mm-hmm. He's going to get some points and assists.
Just seeing that there. He set up a league leading 7 goals from corners, has Trimble, so he takes the corners, and they've been effective from them, considering their top scorer, Anderson, has a league high 6 headers. So those two combining off a corner is going to be deadly.
That is a Brexit partnership, right?
Brexit
there.
Partnership.
Yeah.
When it's got nothing to do with the UK in the slightest. You love to see it. This is actually harder to call than I initially thought once we began this conversation. Someone else, Struan, throws a score prediction while I try and figure out what I'm going to say here.
Well, I think I'll have to back my boys by and go for a comfortable win. But
oh, I forgot about that.
I watched the playoff game between Stuttgart and Union Berlin last year, just because anytime a Bundesliga game's on, you basically stick it on. And I'd honestly never heard much about Union Berlin, but as you were saying with the fans, it was quite crazy. So I'd like them to do well at times as well. They are basically overachieving, but I'll still go for a 4-0 Bayern Munich. Maybe a 4-1. Maybe they'll concede a set piece.
That is a thing I've found with a lot. There's a lot you can say about German football that every team can score. The defence is not the factor that a lot of people talk about when it comes to German football. There are so many instances where lower league teams or lesser teams will score against the big teams, and it'll just be a normality. So
The Bundesliga is by far, in a way, the best goals, like the most goals per match of any of the top leagues. I think I saw that, I'm not sure if this is this season or just even the last decade it might have been, that it's like 2.5 to 2.8 goals per game in the top 5 leagues, apart from the Bundesliga, which is up at 3.2 per goals a game, which is a big difference. So it's always been the good football league.
I'm gonna stick a 2-1, maybe a 3-1 on Bayern. Because I think we're right in saying I could still see Union scoring, especially at home. And it's going to be one of these things. Obviously, the government restrictions are going to be in place, but I still think folk will show up, especially at Union Berlin. Unless like the German government's been a lot stricter than we've been, obviously. But I think if they are that rabid, and it is such an occasion at welcoming Bayern to their stadium, I could see them showing up to intimidate and maybe getting the Bayern heads a wee bit. So, yeah. That could play a factor if it does come true. So yeah, I'm sticking with 3-1. Sean, have you got a different opinion?
I'll go the same as the reverse fixture and say 2-1 to Bayern. Close game.
Mm-hmm. And Cameron, just to round out this fixture.
Yeah, what Sean said, we've all agreed on that. The fans not being there at Union be massive, so I'm gonna go 3-0 Bayern.
Lovely. There we go. Well, we'll move on to another. So as I said, we were talking about Gladbach just there, so we will get to them just now. And they are playing away to Frankfurt, who in the last couple of seasons they've lost their 3 most effective forwards. They've lost Jovic, they lost Rebic to AC Milan, and I know there's another one I'm missing.
Haller
to West Ham. And they're still doing quite well. They're still kind of sticking in there, but it's a constant process of rebuilding, but their kind of replacement signings haven't hit the heights that their former players did. Leverkusen, Mönchengladbach, of course, they did have that stretch through October and November where they were leading the league table. They've got some really talented players in play, and Thuram, Donald Mbolo as well, he's there, Jan Sommer in goal, Matthias Ginter, formerly of Dortmund. It's a very, very, very talented squad on paper, but whether it will actually come to fruition on Saturday's game, time will tell. So, Struan, what are we going to say about this game? Is it a lot harder to call than most? Because looking at the last fixture between the two, it ended up 4-2 to Gladbach back in match game week 9. So, are we expecting a similar scoreline or maybe a bit more tightly contested?
I think a very similar one. I think Mönchengladbach will win, but I'm honestly couldn't call how close it'll be. I was actually thinking before I picked a Bundesliga team, I was thinking, oh, I quite like Gladbach, but
You can go back now. Well, I mean,
I can't pick another top six.
How many teams are you picking?
No, Graham and I gave you the chance. You mentioned Cologne, and we were going to let you change to Cologne, but then you said, no, I'm going to stick with Bayern, and that was your only chance gone to save your dignity a wee bit.
Disappeared.
Now then.
But, yeah, I really like Gladbach's team. They lost Thorgan Hazard as well in the summer, but they've not... it's not really hampered them as such. They've looked very good this season at times. Like, a result like this could put them straight into second as well. Like, I just love looking at the Bundesliga table and seeing how tightly contested the areas are.
It can be a lot more competitive, which makes for better viewing sometimes.
Yeah, like, if Frankfurt are in 12th, but they could easily push themselves up to 9th, 8th, 7th within a few games.
Mm-hmm. I was meant to know how close the gap between 7th and 11th, I think it was said, is. So 12th isn't far outside that, and I don't think it would be too hard for Frankfurt to make up the ground to kind of put themselves into the top half of the table. Cameron, are we seeing... is there any validity to suggesting a Frankfurt win in this one, or is it going to be Gladbach's game all over again, considering their first fixture at Borussia Park?
I think it'll be a close game, to be fair. I think either team could win. Like we've already touched on, both teams have lost like key players this season. Like, I'll say Hazard and Cuisance for Gladbach and the three forwards for Frankfurt, but they've not... Or maybe Gladbach have sort of replaced them well, like for like, but Frankfurt have replaced them with Bast Dost, who's probably getting a little bit past it now, and André Silva, who's struggled since coming in on loan. So I don't see Frankfurt getting a lot of goals from their forwards. Mm. If I was to guess, I'd say maybe a 1-0 to Gladbach. Either way, it'll be a close game.
Okay, that's an interesting call to make, especially considering how open it was back in October and November, whenever the reverse fixture was played. But I can see why you would say that anyway. I might be inclined to agree with you. I think maybe a 2-1 to Gladbach. I think I'm going to call for this one.
Mm-hmm.
Graham, are you willing to throw a score prediction in?
I'm a bit different in this game. I read somewhere that of all the teams that in the Bundesliga, Frankfurt, the one that needed a break the most, they were exhausted. A long run in Europe last season, in Europa League again this season. So they looked like they were shot towards just before the break. So then coming back now, I think they'll be re-energised and they could push on and try and push into 7th or 6th for that last Europa place. Gladbach are missing Zakaria, I think, on Saturday, which is a massive player in the midfield. He's a box to box, and I actually think I'll probably take the opposite opinion from you guys, and I'll probably predict a Frankfurt win for this one.
1-0. There we go. There's a bit of disagreement. Lovely.
I would say that they've lost all those players, but they have started to rebuild. They've got Pacienda, who's a great player. And I believe they had a player that scored a hat-trick in the Europa League against Salzburg as well. I think it might have been Kamada, but I'm not sure. They've got lots of good players still.
Mm-hmm. There we go. Sean, anything to add on to what Graham said or what any of us have said with this game?
I think Gladbach deserve a lot of praise for the season they've had. Marco Rose looks to be a really good coach, having done well at Red Bull Salzburg. I think they're more sort of evenly matched than we've discussed, but Gladbach have that little bit more to play for. They're keen to make sure they not only stay in the top four, but maybe even get involved in that title race again. So I'll say they'll edge it 2-1.
I was looking quite at the odds for the Bundesliga, but Gladbach are 1 point behind Leipzig, 2 behind Dortmund, 6 behind Munich, and yet they are 100-1 to win the league, whereas Leipzig are 10-1, Dortmund are 9-2, and Bayern are 2-9 on. It's a bit strange, I think.
100-1 from being only 6 points behind seems ridiculous.
I mean, I don't get anyone really picking them still, but I think that's interesting given how close they are.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe they've fallen away after a good start. You said they were on top for ages.
When you get your money from that 8-6 win, you can chuck it on that.
There you go. We'll move on to a kind of fixture lower down in the league just now and talk about Dusseldorf versus Paderborn. The reverse fixture, Paderborn won this one 2-0 at the Benteler Arena that I researched and found the name of that. In all honesty, I know very little about either of these two teams and think that this was a fairly hard one to call. Fortuna have a number of players out. They've got Fink, Konaki and Stefan out, all injured just now. Whereas Paderborn only have Killian, and that's not Mbappe. So I would say hard to call, but I'm going to pass it over to someone who probably knows a bit more about these two teams. Cameron, have you got anything to say about Dusseldorf and Paderborn in this fixture?
Sorry, I'm just currently putting a tenner on Mönchengladbach to win the league. I'm not even joking. I've just reinstalled Skybet. Sorry, is it Paderborn?
Oh, it's yeah. happening. It's like the bets are coming back, aren't they? 2 days away.
Is it Dusseldorf Paderborn? Yeah. So I think Paderborn are one of those clubs I've mentioned in the arc I've done that they're just one of those yo-yo clubs that just have no. They're just a wild card. They just, you can't really predict them. They'll turn up for some games and not the other, turn up for some seasons and not the other. Well, Dusseldorf, I think they finished 10th last season. Like, they are clearly a good side. Maybe not a lot of quality, but like a good team, a good unit together. I think probably Dusseldorf will win this one. Also, there's no really a home advantage anymore, but I still just rate them a little bit more than Paderborn. I think maybe about 6-8 points separating them.
Six points.
I think I just think Dusseldorf might not have a lot of quality, but they're a better team together.
And Dusseldorf as well, they're 4 points off avoiding a playoff. They are four points off Mainz in 15th, who have Cologne in a fairly decent mid-table game there. So there's a lot to kind of play for both teams in terms of this one. So I think I'm going to call a 1-1, a draw between the two. I probably agree that Dusseldorf probably do have a bit more in their locker, just a bit more going for them than Paderborn do. But I think with both teams actually needing to get points, I would say that they're going to end up shared here. But I could be wrong. Struan, are you going to contest anything there, or is it sounding all right to you?
I think that sounds all good to me. I'm not really too sure on these ones. I'll maybe just go for a 0-0 or something.
But actually,
in the Bundesliga, that doesn't happen often.
It's very rare. We saw it happen earlier, didn't we? We were talking about the Dortmund-Schalke 0-0 earlier in the season. But I suppose, Sean, are we expecting what I said earlier, just both these teams to come out fighting for this one? Are we expecting goals going in regardless of the result?
Yeah, they should be really going for it. Paderborn are sort of in danger of getting cut adrift if they don't pick up that win. They're 6 points off that relegation playoff spot, like we said. Mm-hmm. So if this were to win 9 points, you'd have to think that's really hard to pull back over 9 games. So that'll be, they're really, really going for it. I've got Kai Proger of Paderborn in my midfield. He's got 2 goals and 7 assists this season, so not too bad. I'd spent a lot of money elsewhere, so he seemed like a decent person to sort of plug a midfield spot. But yeah, it will be fiercely contested. They've both got a lot to play for, so scrappy, I think.
Scrappy is probably the best word to describe it at this rate. I think scrappy is ideal. So a scrappy draw is the kind of prediction, or, as Cameron said, a Dusseldorf win. So if you're a betting man, like we know Jamie McIntosh is, then there's your tips for this weekend. I'm just thinking how excited he's going to be able to actually put a bet back on. He did say earlier in the week. We'll move on. Graham.
I put my first bet on last week and it ended in like 2 fights, so I'm already out on the betting again.
Were you betting on the UFC?
Yep, and I lost in the first women's fight and that was it. And then I lost in the next fight again. And the next fight after that.
Oh, it's good to have sport back, isn't it? We love to have that. Coming on, just check what time we've got left. We've got time enough to get the last couple of fixtures squeezed in, I reckon. If we're quick about it. Augsburg and Wolfsburg, the two Bergs, they are... God, that was horrible. they are going at each other on Saturday afternoon as well. Last time out. This was a 0-0, as we were just saying. Apparently it doesn't happen, but it did a couple of times in the reverse game week. Wolfsburg have got a lot of players out. They've got Camacho gone, Gerhardt's away, Gulavogi's away, Weghorst and William, all five of them are injured, whereas Augsburg are only doubtful for Finn Bogason, Geifer and Schieber. So realistically, they could probably all push through it. I am still willing to chuck a couple of quid on Wolfsburg for this one, personally. I think they've just got a lot kind of more depth of quality in their squad. Kevin Mbabu at right back, formerly of Newcastle, and Young Boys has had a really decent season. And Rangers, of course, yes, right enough. He's had a very decent season so far. Roussillon, a lot of FIFA players this year know that man very well. Memdi and Arnold are both very solid players in the midfield, and Brekalo has been performing really well in terms of the scoring charts. So I will come to Graham for this one. Are you agreeing with me on a Wolfsburg win, or do you want to contest it in any way?
It's really hard to predict the winner in the world famous Berg Derby. Wolfsburg will probably benefit from the coronavirus. So they're the one of the few teams in the Bundesliga that actually have like no fans in their stadium most of the time.
Wow.
So they don't really need an atmosphere. So they'll probably be fine on this. They had a new coach recently, Wolfsburg. They got a guy from Lask Linz in Austria who had been a really big story.
Mm-hmm.
And supposedly they became very, very defensive, which is kind of weird for the Bundesliga. So I think, I'm not sure about how the game will go, but I think it'll be one of the games to avoid on Saturday.
It's either going to be one of the games to avoid, or the defensive training is going to go out the window as the two-month break.
I would go as far as say Iceberg are the team I know the least about in the whole league as well. So,
see, coming into recording this, I realised that I know very little about a number of teams in the Bundesliga, so this has just been more of an educational process for me at this point. So,
got some research to do when we finish.
I do, yeah. We've got some, especially if we're going to carry this on as a weekly series, which we may do. Hint, hint. Cameron, have we got anything more to say about this fixture? Is it going to be a bit more tightly contested, or is it going to be a solid win for either side?
Yeah, I think we're right. It'll be probably one of the more forgettable games. Like, Augsburg are a team that are just sort of... They had a good season, maybe a few seasons back, finished top half, but they've just been sliding away since, and Wolfsburg obviously haven't really come back since the days of Kevin De Bruyne and such, so... Mm-hmm. One of those games, I'd probably go like a 1-1, maybe a 2-1 Wolfsburg, because I don't think it'll be too exciting.
Yeah, I feel it because it is one of those forgettable games, or the game to avoid, it's going to be one of those that's kind of hardest to predict. So, mm-hmm. I mean, for putting a bet on, I would just avoid this altogether. Sean, are you got anything more to add to this one, or even throw a score prediction at an 8-6 potentially?
Well, I have Cohen Castells, the Wolfsburg goalkeeper, in my... and nets for me, mm-hmm. So I'll be hoping they keep a clean sheet. I picked him because they've conceded the fewest goals outside the top six, so hopefully they can keep that up. So I'll say 1-0 then, Max Arnold to recreate that ridiculous free kick where it got like the most swerve you've ever seen in your life.
Oh, absolutely, yeah.
Screamer.
Struan, you mentioned you had Jedvaj on the bench, didn't you, for Wolfsburger. You backing him to keep a clean sheet, or are you expecting a Wolfsburg win here?
I've actually replaced him as we've been talking with Christopher Lenz of Union Berlin, so I'll be
oh,
on the Wolves.
You've been listening then.
Taking tips. I think Wolfsburg, yeah. One of the only things I actually know about Augsburg is the striker Finn Bogatson is a Hibs fan. That's genuinely my knowledge of that club.
Do you want to mention any more teams you support at all this podcast doing? Is there anything else you want to say?
So I'd stick with Wolfsburg. Maybe an Arnold screamer or something from 30 yards.
There we go. Solid.
I'm surprised Sean didn't pick the team that were green and white.
Yeah, I know. A Celtic fan and a Hibs fan, because he's just one of them, isn't he?
Oh.
Alexander Esfine costs 2.7 million if anybody wants to transfer him in.
Oh, wow. Yeah, right, we need to move on, because if we let Struan talk anymore, he's just going to dig himself into a hole. We've got Cologne against Mainz as well.
Struan's team.
Oh, it's one of Struan's many teams, actually. Cologne sitting in 10th at the moment, with Mainz sitting down in 15th. There's, again, a six-point gap between the two, though, so Mainz could stand a lot to gain by winning this one. They also... if I am correct, they are away, so it's going to be harder for them, harder is debatable considering the lack of fans, but it could still stand travelling as well, so could prove to be effective. Cologne have Jean Cordoba as their main striker, who has been a fairly solid option for them, and Timo Horn was arguably far too good for the second Bundesliga when they were down in there a couple of seasons ago. I'm expecting a Cologne win from this one. Mainz might put up a bit of a fight, maybe get a goal, but I can see Cologne winning this one 2-3-1. Cameron, can you get any other alternative options for that one? Or
I'm not sure, maybe Mainz have Robin Quaison up front, who's pretty high up in the goal scoring charts, and he's got 14 goals this season in the league.
Did my team.
And they've got one or two other good players like Jerry St. Just, a FIFA 15 legend. So I don't know. Maybe they have an outside chance, but I think Cologne are probably the favourites. To be fair,
Graham, would you agree there?
Yeah, I do agree with him. I have Kaison in my team. This, like I said, he's been banging the goals for Mainz, but Cologne were one of the teams that had great form. Yeah, just before the break, and I keep saying that for a lot of teams. I don't know how I can transfer over. It's been so long, but it felt like more like they figure something out stylistically. Maybe that can still carry over. So I'll probably predict a Cologne win. Yeah.
Sean, have you got anything else to add to this fixture?
Just looking at who's out for both teams, and I've got Ismail Jacobs in my team who is not playing that weekend. So that.
Nope, I'll take him out then.
Oh, I have him as well.
I'm just wondering if because it's a Cologne home game, so I'm wondering if the GOAT's going to be there. There's usually a GOAT kicking about the stadium.
Oh, I thought you were talking about Podolski.
No, I just wonder if the GOAT's allowed to be there in these sort of behind closed doors era.
Has it been proven whether GOATs can catch the big bad yet? Or is it...
I don't actually know that for a fact, so I'm going to have to look into it.
Is it Cologne that's singing Loch Lomond as well?
Oh,
one of the teams in Germany sing like their own version of Loch Lomond. They don't sing like singing about Scotland.
Like word for word.
That's who I'm gonna support.
It ends up actually as Bayern. He's just written himself into a hole there. that's worth looking up for next week, so we can check who that actually is. Just with the little bit of time we've got left, we will move on and look to Monday's fixture, the only fixture on Monday, which is Werder Bremen versus Bayer Leverkusen, who themselves have a very exciting squad and a very...
It's Cologne.
Was it?
Yeah, it was Cologne that sings Loch Lomond.
Is it Cologne that sings Loch Lomond? Yeah.
As you were.
I thought it was like, no, Cologne aren't playing twice in 1 week. That doesn't make sense. Leverkusen, as I was just saying, they've got a very, very talented young midfielder in Kai Havertz, who is potentially going to be playing up front in replace of Kevin Volland, who's doubtful with a foot injury. Peter Bosz has done a pretty decent job with this team after joining from Borussia Dortmund. Obviously, they've got both Bender brothers, and I'm not being funny. Jonathan Tah is a very, very solid defender. Lucas Hendrecki has had a very kind of good last couple of seasons in goal. But, I mean, Bremen, again, they are down. They are 17th, and they are, let me just check, they're 4 points. No, they're not. They're 2 points ahead of Paderborn. So this is, again, a must-win game for them if they want to stay in the competition for survival, because if they lose this, they are looking pretty far gone. But considering the nature of the Bundesliga, that could all well change. They've been relying a lot on their main man, Rashica, as their kind of top scorer. Anyone taking a punt on him? Anyone included any of these players from Leverkusen or Bremen at all?
I did have Kai Havertz, but I took him out for Nkunku.
That's bold. That is a bold statement. Havertz is a fair bit more expensive than Nkunku, if I remember right.
I think of all the Bundesliga, them starting early, I think the biggest benefactor might be Kai Havertz. Still think I think he's known by like big diehard football fans, but I generally think he's the next big thing in German football and world football. Mm-hmm. I think he's incredible. They played at Ibrox not long before game before it, and they just tore us apart. We didn't even play bad, they just tore us apart completely. Mm-hmm. And Kai Havertz just pulls the strings. I think this time period is going to be his coming out party as a superstar in world football.
He's kind of just taken over from Brandt, who went to Dortmund, hasn't he? They've not really lacked in that department at all.
Brandt just has kind of become a little bit irrelevant, hasn't he? Since going to Dortmund, he's not really recaptured the same flair.
Kind of one of those like transfers to Bayern, like you got to whoever go over, and then they just kind of get lost in the pool of players, and then they're amazing for the current team, and then they just... He's had an okay season, but...
I saw someone say that Havertz was a cross between Michael Ballack and Mesut Ozil, which is pretty good praise.
That's high praise.
I think it was Raphael Honigstein, which is like high praise.
He's,
from high man.
He's one of the biggest names in sports journalism for Germany, so that's massive from him. Cameron, are we kind of expecting anything out of Werder Bremen in this game, or is it a fairly routine Leverkusen victory?
I think we'll see how Bremen react, because you know they're a team that's always been in the Bundesliga and they've been in it for about 40 years, so for them to go down would be a massive shock. They're sitting in the relegation zone, so I think this game will be able to tell if this break's maybe worked for them, and playing in front of no pressure, no fans, maybe that'll help them too. But if they go out and get smacked, which is very possible to a really good Leverkusen side, then I think they might be finished this season.
Yeah, I mean, I think the one thing that we've been able to agree on this entire episode is the fact that it's hard to call who's winning anything this weekend. You would always assume the kind of bigger names are going to do well, but the fact we've been 2 months off, some players might have taken it seriously, some players might have just went and had a jolly. So, Sean, could we potentially see this as a bit of an upset, considering what Bremen actually have to play for with the rest of the season only being 2 points ahead of the bottom place team in Paderborn?
I think it's definitely a possibility, but Leverkusen have a lot of quality. I've got Bellarabi in my team, who I've always enjoyed as a player. And I agree a lot with what Graham said, that Kai Havertz is just an absolutely fantastic player. He's outstanding at Ibrox. I've seen Leverkusen a few times this year, and he's just been absolutely brilliant. It's easy to see why he's so heavily linked to Bayern next season. They're not too keen on keeping on Coutinho, that he's not impressed too much there. So, and with sort of Müller winding down, maybe you can see him being the perfect option to be that sort of link between midfield and attack going forward for Bayern. So I would think it'll be a Leverkusen win.
Something, just a question just generally. See, for a player like Havertz, when you're 20 years old and you're kind of recognised as the next big thing in German football, is it within your best interest to stay in Germany and go to a Bayern, or would you prefer to can showcase your talents abroad just to prove you might not be the next big thing in German football, but world football?
I think Germany is quite similar to Italy in the sense that whenever a player from that country comes up from a smaller team, they tend to stay within the country. I think somebody like a Leroy Sané is an exception in Ozil when he went to Real Madrid. I think like players like Goretzka and others who, and like Sebastian Rudi at Hoffenheim, he still went to Bayern Munich when the opportunity came up. And I thought Timo Werner would probably go to Bayern as well, almost as a Lewandowski replacement. But then there's been talk about him saying he wants to leave for a new challenge. So I think now more players are kind of looking at Sané and thinking, well, he went to City, he's won loads at City, and now Bayern want him, you know, you can make it abroad. So
almost like a reverse Jadon Sancho in a way. Where
exactly.
Kind of went to Pastures New and is now potentially coming back in the summer. But with that being said, I'm going to just chuck on a 3-0 Leverkusen win. Fairly standard. Havertz will probably get pull the strings again, as we've been saying. Anyone going to predict an upset, or are we all sticking with a Leverkusen victory here?
I'll go for a Werder Bremen win.
Oh.
Just by a goal, maybe a 2-1 or 1-0, something like Davy Klaassen long shot or something. Now.
I can't confirm. Davy Klaassen is suspended.
Is it? Oh, my goodness. let's backtrack. And Edgestein, he will be scoring the bang.
Is that in their squad? Is that Nuri Sahin?
Yeah. Nuri Sahin,
he's still there.
He was a major legend.
He's another one who was meant to be a big breakout star and just sort of never really materialised, did it?
They've got quite a few, like Kevin Voigt, who was at Hoffenheim, who was fantastic, he's gone there as well. And Toprak, who I think was at Dortmund? Was he at Dortmund and Leverkusen and Dortmund, and now he's at Werder Bremen as well. There's quite a lot of good players within that squad.
And the best player in the squad, they have Claudio Pizarro. He's 41
years old. 41
years old. Yeah.
Still kicking a ball.
Still going. He's made like 15 appearances. Yeah.
Has anyone got him in their team?
I thought about it. I really wanted to.
I'm tempted.
Yes, Dune, he's not available for this game either.
He's
out of injury.
I wasn't going to put him in anyway.
I think at that point we need to put Struan out of his misery and say thank you to everyone for listening to the first edition of The German Fantasy Ramble. It's been a pleasure hosting once again. Thank you to our usual host Graham and Struan, and a big thank you to Cameron and Sean for coming on and sharing their knowledge. For more excellent sports and football content on Energy, you should go and listen to Energy Extra Time. There's just been a new episode where they've talked about German football in anticipation for its return, uploaded on Thursday, which is today of the recording. So go and listen to that if you haven't already. But yeah, so thank you very much for listening. This has been the fantasy ramble. I need to get used to that. And that's fantastic. We will see you in the near future. Cheers.